It's from Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 1 on page 1047 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus at a Pharisee's house. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There, in front of him, was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. We need to hear from you. We pray that we might not just hear with our ears, but that the words that you speak to us will go deep into our hearts and be bringing transformation to our lives. Amen. For those of you who received the email on Saturday, then we're all going to be making sure that Will is listening really, really carefully to this sermon, because as he's told us, he has much to learn on this matter. So after a couple of weeks break, we've been looking at generosity and giving, then we're back to our sermon series on meals with Jesus in the book of Luke. So many meals in Luke. The meal we're looking at today, as Jesus has been doing throughout the book of Luke in our series, Jesus is turning things upside down, shocking and challenging the religious leaders, associating with the wrong kinds of people, and welcoming the nobodies. In the Bible, mealtimes with Jesus were never dull, and you never knew quite what to expect when you invited him to dinner. Maybe that's also true today, if we let him. The meal in our passage today is at the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees. We might find it surprising that Jesus would be invited to dinner by a respectable Pharisee. We often see the Pharisees as the opposition to Jesus, and obviously many of them were. But some of them, like Nicodemus, were fascinated by Jesus. They wanted to find out more. We know that some of the Pharisees cared about Jesus because we can read in Luke chapter 13 that they came to warn him that Herod wanted to kill him. But it's becoming clearer and clearer that many of the Pharisees are looking for ways to trap Jesus. They're watching him, wanting to be able to trip him up and undermine him and accuse him. And that brings me to my first point. In this passage, we see a lot about watching and seeing. Did you notice all of the watching that is going on in the passage? But some of the people who are watching don't seem to really see. On the other hand, Jesus not only sees what is happening on the surface, he sees what is happening deep in people's hearts. The first verse tells us that when Jesus went to eat at this house, he was being carefully watched. This isn't just people watching like the crowds watching to see, wow, what amazing miracles might Jesus do today? What's he going to teach us now? This isn't watching like the disciples who are watching, wanting to learn, wanting to follow Jesus, wanting to become more like Jesus. This watching is trying to trip Jesus up. Will he do any more of the outrageous things he's been doing, which have upset the Pharisees and their religious system so much? Will he heal someone else on the Sabbath? Will he associate with people who are unclean? Not all of the Pharisees, but some of them already have their preconceived ideas and prejudices, and they have hardened their hearts. So they watch to find fault. But in the process, they completely miss seeing what is actually in front of them. The Messiah they've been waiting for has arrived. Jesus is showing what God's love and grace for all people is like. The kingdom of God is breaking through into their everyday lives. God wants them to be to open their eyes and to be able to really see. Such good news. While the Pharisees are watching and trying to catch Jesus out, Jesus is also watching and he is seeing. He sees in front of him a child of God who needs healing. He has compassion, and even though it'll get him into trouble, he heals the man. And what else is Jesus watching? It tells us that he is watching the behavior of the people at the meal. And as I said, Jesus doesn't just see the surface what's happening. He sees underneath their heart attitudes. Verse 7 tells us that when Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. I'm going to read this from the message just so we get a little bit of a different perspective. When someone invites you to dinner, don't take the place of honor. Someone more important than you might have been invited by the host. Then he'll come and call out in front of everybody, "You're in the wrong place. The place of honor belongs to this man." Embarrassed, you'll have to make your way to the very last table, the only table left. When you're invited to dinner, go and sit at the last place. Then, when the host comes, he may very well say, "Friend, come up to the front." That will give the dinner guests something to talk about. What I'm saying is, if you walk around all high and mighty, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. Or, as the NIV says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." It is embarrassing, isn't it, being asked to move out of a seat because someone more important will be sitting there. I don't know if anyone's experienced it. Joy mentioned that she has. Many years ago, our family were traveling back from Congo to England. We'd been traveling for hours and were really tired. We entered the airplane in Brussels Airport and accidentally sat in the business class section with three of our young children. We were told pretty quickly that we didn't belong there and we should make our way to the economy class. And that was where we belonged. We felt very embarrassed. Maybe it's happened to you, maybe at a theater or a wedding or even in church. Sorry, those seats are reserved. If you've got any good stories about these situations, then please do tell them to me afterwards and I'll be able to put those in my next sermon about this subject. But in this parable, Jesus isn't simply trying to help people avoid embarrassing situations or even giving a lesson on table manners, helpful as that may be. He's revealing something about the way that God's kingdom works and something about people's hearts and attitudes and about our hearts and attitudes if we're ready to watch and see or listen and hear. For the people at the Pharisees' dinner, the way they were acting would have been perfectly normal for them. This jostling for position was part of the social system of the Roman world. That system was a system of shame and honor. Honor and shame were key to a person's identity, their worth, and their character. Not only theirs, but that as well of their family and their position in society. It was a system of patronage. There was a patron, and honor and favor were the currency. As a benefactor, favors owed to you by others gave you a higher ranking in society. Mealtime was often the place where status was on display. Guests of honor sat near to the host, and if you weren't important, then you sat further away from the host. And if you didn't matter at all, you weren't even invited. But Jesus has a very different idea about the way that things ought to work. The kingdom of God has got a very different set of values. So what did Jesus want people to see? Jesus wanted people to see and understand kingdom values. One thing he was reminding the people of was that they belonged to God, not to Rome. The Roman practice of pushing yourself forward and trying to make yourself look important did not fit with the prophet Micah's reminder to walk humbly with your God. Jesus is warning the people about pushing themselves forward, trying to exalt themselves in the sight of other people and in the sight of God. In Jesus' day, it was all too easy for the well-off and educated to imagine that they were superior in God's sight compared to the poor and those without education. Maybe it still is. And what about us? Do we let pride creep in and try to make people see just how important we are? Do we sometimes feel like we have earned God's favor by the really good things that we do, and we deserve it, rather than recognizing that God's favor to us is pure grace, freely given as a gift? Do we feel like we're better than other people? In the kingdom, our value comes from God because of his love for us. We don't need to make sure that we get honor for ourselves. We can humble ourselves because we can trust God, who sees everything that we do out of love for him, to exalt us in the best way and at the right time. The social climbing and jockeying for position Jesus saw around the Pharisees' table doesn't seem that much different from what we sometimes experience today. People still feel the need to justify their standing in the community or the organization. We crave being accepted and respected. It happens in the schoolyard, the workplace, wherever people gather. And sometimes it happens in church too. There are moments when we like to impress people with our righteousness. But Jesus says, you don't need to impress anyone with your righteousness. The only one whose opinion of you matters is God, and he knows your heart. He knows how far short of his righteousness we fall, and he loves us anyway. I wonder how the leader of the Pharisees who'd invited Jesus to dinner was feeling by this point. He'd invited this distinguished and important company to dinner, and here was Jesus pointing out the pride and superiority that was in their hearts. Maybe he would have been thinking, quick, bring the dessert. But Jesus had more challenges to bring, and he had no intention of letting his host off the hook when it came to table manners in the kingdom of God. You're inviting the wrong people. This is my paraphrase, by the way. You're inviting the wrong people, Jesus told him. By including only friends, family, and those who can advance your status, you're no better than your guests who are fighting over the best seat in the house. You're trying to make yourself look good by surrounding yourself with important people while you ignore the very ones who should be enjoying your hospitality. Who, I wonder, are we inviting to our homes and tables? Jesus isn't saying that we should never invite our family or our friends round for dinner, but let's ask him to show us who he wants us to invite. Not so that we can be blessed, but so that God, through us, can bless other people. There was also a wider meaning to this story. As soon as Jesus started talking about a wedding banquet, the thoughts of the Jewish people in the audience would have gone to the image of a banquet prepared by God for those who would join him in his kingdom at the end times. The Pharisees thought that the people invited to that banquet would, of course, be the righteous people of Israel. But Jesus is saying that the invitation will go out to everyone, and the banquet will be opened up to anyone who accepts that invitation. The Pharisees were so busy watching out for their own place at the top of the table that they couldn't see God's grace and generosity and his longing that all who were invited would come in. So Jesus challenges us and invites us today. To the guests, Jesus says, don't seat yourself too high up the table, but take the lowest place. Show the kind of humility that honors God. And to the host, Jesus says, don't invite those who can repay you, but those who can't. Instead of looking for ways to look down on people, to consider them as less important than you are, find ways to lift others up and to stand beside them. Jesus calls us to live in a radically countercultural way, leveling the field for all God's children. And Jesus teaches us too, by his own example, how to be both a humble guest and a gracious host. He invites us to see those overlooked by society, yet, like all of us, in need of God's healing. He invites us who do not deserve his grace to join the banquet. He invites us to live in humility like he did taking on the identity of a servant, placing himself at the lowest place for our sakes. And as we accept Christ's invitation to join him at the table in the kingdom of God, we acknowledge that we're only there by grace. We don't deserve such grace, and we aren't better than anyone else because of it. Taking our place at the bottom of the table enables us to respond with joy when Jesus, our host, taps us on the shoulder and says, "What are you doing down here? Come on up and sit by me." So come. Come to the table. And as you accept Jesus's gracious invitation, offer yours to him. You can ask Jesus to come and be a part of your life and live life with him. Amen.